Hello and welcome to Med Talks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah and I'm joined by my partner Joey, and today we're going to be taking you through some of the questions that linger in the back of our minds when going through med school. So we're fortunate enough to be joined by Dr. Layla Fay. She's an intern doctor at New Somerset Hospital and she's promised to offer us her guidance and experience on this topic.
Thank you for the intro, Debbie. Yeah, hello guys. Welcome to Med Talks and our discussion today. We hope you're enjoying the content that we're putting out currently. Please remember to give us a follow on our social media pages, which is at MedTalkZA, where you can give us some feedback, ask us some questions, slide into those DMs. Now, moving on to today's episode, as mentioned earlier by Debbie, we are joined by the lovely Dr. Layla Fay. Layla, how are you doing today?
I'm actually doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm excited.
Well, the pleasure is only ours. I'm so excited. We're so excited to be chatting to you as well. Layla, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, where you studied, where you are now, and then we'll get into the show.
So I'm Layla. I am 26. I was born in Cape Town, then grew up in a small town in the eastern Cape called Mthatha. Did my whole primary school, high school there, mm-hmm. and then for university, I was like, I'm either going to stay here or like go to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So I applied at quite a few different universities. But what I noticed at the time was your first option always has to be medicine. So I applied for medicine, got in at quite a few of the universities, and then ended up picking Stellenbosch at the end.
A great choice.
So most of my family goes to UCT. And I was just like, do I want to just, you know, break the barrier, just mm-hmm. do something different mm-hmm. than I actually did? So I think that was like one of the things that pushed me to go to Stellenbosch. Yeah, and it was just like a new scenery. It was a different place.
Everything really was exciting, new. Yeah.
And coming from like a small town, like Mthatha, like nobody actually, like the, our sort of attraction is Nelson Mandela, who lived in the town 50 kilometers away. So like, I came from like a really small town, very family focused. I knew most of the people in the town. And then coming to university,
this is like a new world.
Big Cape Town, the beach is there, the mountain is there. It was really exciting for me. And I also didn't want to be too overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Going to UCT, because I also felt like it was safer for me to go to a place where nobody knew me and who I knew nobody. So I could sort of like reinvent myself and like figure myself out, get to know myself without having like other pressures.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what an experience, eh? So firstly, I just want to ask, if you could just take us through how your curriculum was set up and in what ways do you feel it adequately prepares you?
So at Stellenbosch, we have a 6-year program. The first year is mostly focused on just like basic sciences, basic pathology, and just like pharmacology.
Okay.
And then you get into your second year, which is like your big rotation, so cardiology, respiratory, endocrinology, and then you go through the rotation. But while you go through the rotation, you do the dissection at the same time you do the rotation. So dissection in the morning, and then you have lectures in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is like really like integrated the way that it's set out, which I really enjoyed. Like you do physiology of the respiratory system, then you do your dissection, and then you do the pathology. And I really enjoyed that about Stellenbosch.
It makes sense to do it like
then,
that.
So that was my second year. And then also in your second year, you have an introduction to clinical medicine. So you start going to the hospital,
you get a mentor doctor. You start early, hey?
Really early. And like you can imagine, like I'm like in my second year, I don't know anything.
Mm.
You paired up with this doctor who now like obviously like teaches you all of these things, and it's like your first interaction with the patient, and you obviously have to get consent, and you're just like really scared because it's like you've only been here for 5 minutes and now there's a patient.
So it's expectations.
Yeah, and like you have big expectations of yourself. But I think I really appreciated going into the hospital so early because it really helps you identify the gaps that you have.
Mm.
So when I see a patient now, I'm a lot more confident. My rapport, everything flows. Like you gauge the energy of the patient and you adjust yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and there's like little things that you pick up from being in a clinical space for so long. And yeah. I think I really appreciated that about Stellenbosch.
No,
so that was your first and second year, yeah.
No, I must say that's actually quite incredible because at Tux we only really get like more of an orientation towards the end of our third year with clinical medicine, but it can be very difficult for us because when we go into our rotations, our blocks and our rotations don't correlate. So you'll be doing like internal medicine in the morning and then in the afternoon you're doing like obs and gynae. So
yeah, gynae class.
Yeah, so that's like, it's a bit difficult.
Ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, basically.
So that's something that I really appreciated about Stellenbosch is that the way that they set up the curriculum is very, they actually took time to think about how they were going to do everything.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that, like now, in hindsight, I was like, they actually thought about what they were going to do with us. And I really appreciate going from like second year and like just being exposed. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that it's one of my like sort of, I have like a love-hate relationship with this memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the end of my second year and you're supposed to watch like three deliveries. Like, NVD delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Mowbray.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, we're gonna like catch a baby now, or at least watch this baby being caught. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm like standing there with my clinical partner, who's actually one of my close friends, Nabila.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're standing there and we're just watching this lady give birth. And in that moment, I was like, Layla, are you sure you want to do this thing?
No, and I can completely understand why you'd ask.
Children or watch this?
So my friend was, like, my friend, she was, like, literally, like, she looked really pale. And I was like, Nabila, like, I caught a chair for her. And she was just sitting there and, like, hyperventilating. And I was just, like, also trying to push the chair, but also looking. And the baby was coming out. And I'm like, oh, my God.
What is this? No, but that's definitely, I can completely relate. The first time I saw a woman give birth, I also almost fainted. Like, I had to leave the room. So I completely understand. Like, I don't think you ever be ready to see a woman giving birth until you're, like, ready, if that makes sense. Like, until you're there.
And then I had, like, a completely opposite experience the beginning of the year when I did obs and gynae.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my obs and gynae fan. the nurses and, like, the team were so awesome, and they were really keen on, like, helping me learn.
Yeah.
So this is how you deliver baby. This is how we'd like you to do this, step by step. And
yeah.
I think there's always this assumption that the interns just know what they're doing. But, like, sometimes you really don't. And the sisters in the department, like, had become my friends.
Mm.
So whenever there was a delivery, I'd be like, no, if you're busy with that, please go and eat lunch. Like, I'll deliver the baby. And just little things on how to properly do control traction, how to properly suture and episiotomy afterwards. Like, these little nuances that, like, the patient appreciates and, like, the nurses appreciate. And I think another thing that I really enjoyed about, like, the team in obs and gynae is they want you to do things from start to finish. So I think that there's always, especially for doctors, like, you do your bit and you leave.
Yeah.
And I was sitting with one of the nurses, and they're like, the one thing that they don't like is when the doctors don't clean up after themselves. And I think you as a senior doctor, you sort of forget about the little kind things and, like, manners. Like, like, cleaning up after yourself is, like, a manner thing. It's, like, something that you're taught. If you're not taught to clean up after yourself, you don't do it.
Yeah.
And after that, I realized, I'm like, how many times did I not think of the next person?
Yeah.
And that was a big... So I have, like, big takeaway things from the different rotations. And, like, from obs and gynae, I thought my takeaway from them was to think about the next person.
Yeah.
And I think going through all of my rotations and just picking up things and, like, just helping myself become a better doctor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that if I look at myself at the beginning of last year and I look at myself now, I have anxiety. So it's just something that I'm always going to live with.
Yeah.
But learning and, like, applying yourself and exposing yourself, like, all of the things that would make me anxious a year ago would have basically been quelled because I know how to manage myself and I know how to manage my facility. And I think it's very, very important to pick up these things because it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about a patient and it's about working with other people.
And it's just, and, like, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, you kind of just have to remember, like, why you're in it, why you're doing this, like, what this is actually about. It's not, you're not here to appease your own ego.
And I think that's a very, that's something I actually really wanted to, like, chat about is people getting to, going to medicine for very different reasons. Some people are like, I want to save lives. Other people are like, this is something that my family did, so I should probably also do it. But I've studied with people who were into medicine for a title. And
there's a lot of
always,
that.
And it always, it really gets to me that there are people like that. Because there is somebody else out there who wanted to do this for the right reasons. And I'm not saying that wanting a title is a wrong reason, but it is a questionable reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like your heart is not in it if you just want the title at the beginning of your name. And this also, like, goes to this other thing that I, at the beginning of last year, when people would call me Dr. Faker, I'd just be like, I just wouldn't, it wouldn't sink in my head. So when I started a rotation and I meet people, I'm like, please call me Leila or else I will not respond because my name for 24 years has been Leila.
Yeah.
So,
no, I hear
and
you.
Even now, the nurses in any department will call me by my first name. And I know some people are like, no, you shouldn't allow that. And it's like a respect thing. We studied for 6 years. And I'm like, at the end of the day, like, we're all people, we all have the same goal, doesn't actually matter.
Yeah.
Because we all have, and, like, this goes back to, like, teamwork and, like, work and, like, just being on the same level and having the same understanding as other people. It's so, so, so important. So if you humanize yourself and you're just like, I have this knowledge and I have these things about me, but at the end of the day, I'm a person. People are more eager to help, they're more easy to be, like, it's easier to be kind to you, it's easier for you to be kind to them because you get each other on, like, a semi-personal level.
Yeah,
and, like, that's the vibe I try to give off.
Well, it sounds like you've got the right insight into that. I agree completely. Whenever a doctor is less formal, even to students, and he says, like, you know, call me by my name, or, like, to the sisters are more willing to work with that doctor because they're interacting on a personal level, like you said. It's a very, very insightful thing of you to say. Thank you for that. Now, Leila, that you have taken us through how your curriculum was basically set up and which ways it benefited you and adequately prepared you, where do you think it fell short? What did you have to learn on the job as an intern?
So the thing that, and, like, I know, I, like, this is a thing that I speak to students about a lot. So I am a big advocate of being fair to students because I was one. And being a student is like basically having two jobs. During the day in the hospital, when you get home, you have to study.
Please tell that to, please tell that to all the other doctors.
So I think, and it's hard. Because, like, in retrospect, if I'm thinking about where I am now, I work 8 to 4 and I go home and I go sleep. I do other things with my time. Pre-COVID, I'd go to the beach. I'd hang out with my friends. But med students don't have that luxury. You're done with campus. You go home, maybe take a nap, eat, do some self-care, and then you're grinding. And we often lose track of that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, just, being a student is very difficult. So nobody actually, so none of the doctors, I went to Stellenbosch, and I remember there being some rotations where there was this expectation that you have to be there all the time, even if you're doing nothing. And I really wish that there was more advocacy on if there's nothing to do, let the students go home. But we have a log book, and, like, I think that's the thing that is something that happens throughout med school. That you have to fill in your logbook. You need a certain amount of signatures to pass the rotation. And I understand why it's there, but it also causes a lot of anxiety for like students. And like now in hindsight, when the students come to me, they're like scared and like they're just like, okay, can you please just, my thing?
Because we feel like we're intruding.
Begging for a signature. Yeah. You're like on your knees. Please sign here.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and a lot of the, like, I have like really, really good chats with the students, and regardless of like which university you come from or which year you're in, the complaint is the same, and it's just students aren't always respected.
Yeah.
And
I agree with that.
I feel like they are part of the team. Yeah, they're like, yeah, I can understand that, like, they sort of hinder some of your work, but you have to have a little bit more compassion towards them. And, that's why I really like take them under my wing, and I'm just like, I know how you feel. If I am in a position to help them, I'm always there. Ask me a question. Let me know how I can help.
We need more internal Layla.
No, that's for sure. I think it's, I don't think maybe you realize the impact that you have on your students' lives, because I know I clearly vividly remember any doctor that's walked into my life and like showed me compassion. And I've always remembered the things that they've taught me. So it's, I definitely hear what you're saying, and I 100% agree with.
We applaud you.
Yeah. So,
Yeah. Back onto the Where It Falls Short, where I keep on digressing. But Where It Falls Short, I definitely think that there is a very big focus on specialized domains and not enough focus on primary care.
I agree, yeah.
I basically do a lot of primary care, and I didn't realize it. Like, for me, when I was going through the blocks, I was just like, oh, the specialized domains are like really exciting, like, ooh, opto and ortho and this and that. But you lose focus of the fact that after all of these 6 years, you're a GP, and you need to know GP things. And now that I'm an intern and I'm going through family medicine, I'm like, family medicine is such an important part of medicine, because it's like, and I feel like GPs get a bad rap, like, oh, you didn't specialize. But they are so important.
I completely agree, yes.
And I wish I could, like, advocate for them a lot more. And being a GP is very difficult.
You literally, you have to,
like,
you
pick up on everything.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can't not notice.
And you jump. I remember when we were doing GP work in our fourth year. You jump from one specialty to another, like, within 5 minutes. Like, it's very intense, and your knowledge has to be very sound in everything that you know, because you need to know something about everything.
You can't just refer either. It is primary care, like you said.
Yeah, and you also need to know how to refer and what to refer and what, and you also have to keep, like, so if you're working in, like, the public sector, at the end of the day, you want to benefit the patient the most with the least amount of resources. So if you're just like, okay, I have this gynae patient, what are the guidelines? And you have to, like, remember what the guidelines are, and you're like, this patient can only get a pap smear this amount of times in this amount of time. And you don't want to incur unnecessary costs to the patient, because at the end of the day, the patient has to bear the cost, or like the government, and you obviously want to try to reserve funds so when something like COVID happens, you as a doctor, and you as part of like your little contribution, you're not making too much of a dent, because all the little things that you do have a knock-on effect on big things. And it's very important of like to realize and to like reflect on, is there easier way to do this? Am I doing this properly? Am I making like, because like, the other thing I was also thinking about, digression again, was the environmental impact of something like COVID, because everything is now single use. All of the stuff is being incinerated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Nobody's actually thinking and talking about this. And every time you use, you put on the PPE and you dispose of it, you know it's going to get incinerated.
Yeah.
What is the effect of this in? Because COVID doesn't have a timeline.
Yeah.
COVID, it's just like this long, drawn-out thing that has no end. And because it's been going on like this, you don't know if this is going to last a year or 2 years or 5 years. But all of this PPE and all of these things that we're doing have an effect, and we don't know what the long-term outcomes are. And I think this is, it's really important to keep up to date with all the research that's being done, with all the articles that are coming out, what's the best practice. And yeah, that's just my two things.
Yeah, but I definitely, I think you raise a very valid point, and I think it is something that should be spoken about, and how we should actually like move forward with it, because as you say, like, COVID doesn't have a timeline. We don't know when this is going to stop. This could be our new seasonal flu, for all we know.
Mm. We just hope that vaccine somewhere next year, then like, the vaccine, life can go back to normal.
It needs to pull through. So now that we've kind of just like spoken about what we feel is really pivotal and important, do you feel that in med school that there were any blocks or rotations that weren't necessary?
That weren't necessary.
Yeah. Well, if any.
If any.
I think every rotation that you do has its place.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like some of the rotations could definitely be restructured to be more on a more primary care basis. Because when you're doing your rotation, it's very specialized. And to be honest, I don't remember much of anything really without going back to it.
Yeah.
But the things that I do remember are all clinical based. So what I always try to remember in any rotation are, what do I need to know as a GP? That was the way I studied.
It's a good approach.
So my approach to medicine wasn't, I can be honest here and be like, I wasn't like a cum student, but I know that I left med school knowing how to be a GP.
Yeah,
equipped with the tools that is going to literally help you to give adequate primary care.
So, I don't know what the pathophysiology of some of disease is, but if you bring me an eye and you tell me, doctor, I work as a welder and something went into my eye, I know how to do your examination. I know that I need fluorescein and something to relax your eye. I know how to remove things out of your eye. For a GP, that's important.
And if that's, I have a patient with, that's what's going to make you a safe
whatever.
Doctor.
Yeah. And you also need to like hold yourself accountable, like with whatever decision that you make. So if you decide on whatever course of management, you can't just be practicing like cowboy medicine and being like, oh, this looks good. Oh, I've seen other people do this.
Yeah.
I should also do it too.
I love that phrase, cowboy medicine.
Yeah, because like that's just the reality of what happens, and you obviously need to update yourself. You need to so this is why on my Instagram page I have a lot of apps, like useful apps that I use.
Yeah,
and that's why I sort of try to push the narrative. Like we're in a very I don't know, technological age where we use our phones for everything, why not just use these free apps that give you this information on how to be better, how to do better, how to practice the best medicine.
And I must say, it's really nice that you actually share these things, because I know as a student, like, I obviously follow you on Instagram, and it's really nice because sometimes you're not even aware that these things are available for you. And I generally have, like, you know, all of these apps open like out when I'm working in a clinic just to check myself, and that's the best way that you learn. So thank you so much for, you know, going through with that and doing that and continuing to help educate us. Like, it's very important.
Leila, it's been absolutely wonderful speaking to you. Thank you for the life lessons that you gave and the beautiful quotes on top of all the information that you provided us. I feel very empowered, and also I feel like there's definitely some things, some shortcomings that I can see in myself that I'm willing to admit and be courageous.
No,
and
but I hear you, and I think a lot of the things that you've had to say are very important things that
we can use, actually.
Yeah, and I think people with your insight, you know, it's definitely something that needs to be shared more on the things that
you've. Like you.
Yeah, we do. At the end of the day, that's it.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for coming on and sharing and just imparting your knowledge with us. We really appreciate it. And then we just also want to say thank you so much to our listeners. We really appreciate the constant support that we get from you guys. And yeah, just please, if you guys would give us a like or a follow, and if you have any comments or queries, critiques, anything like that, you guys are more than welcome to just let us know. So yeah, that's it from us. Thank you so much, guys.
Remember to check out Medstagram.
Yes,
please. Thank you so much, Leila.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yay. Leila Faye.
Dr. Leila.
Okay, bye.
Pleasure. Bye.